Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevens, and delighted today that we are bringing to you Keith Phillips. He is the Managing Director and CEO of Piedmont Lithium, ASX code PLL, based in the US of A. Technology allows us to talk today, and they have had a fire lit under their share price this week. So I was really excited to get Keith on board. Now, Keith's background, he understands markets. He spent quite a long time on Wall Street over there in New York. He was appointed the managing director in 2017, and Piedmont Lithium's project is in North Carolina. Welcome to the program, Keith. Great to see you.
Thank you, Kerry. It's great to be on with you. I appreciate it.
Well, we've got lots to talk about today, but I thought it best to start by just doing a little bit of education to our listeners out there about, you know, the lithium market has been beaten up for the last couple of years. Share prices have been pretty much in the toilet for a long time, but it seems like all is changing. And so before we get into the details of why your share price has had a fire under it this week, let's just talk macro about the market and what's changing.
Sure. You're right. It's been a difficult probably 2.5 years. March, April 2018 was kind of the peak. Valuations were very, very strong. Lithium prices were at all-time highs. And since then, we had a difficult 18 months in the market where we had three large spodumene projects come into production in Australia. We had some Chinese converters build new capacity. And that was really too much capacity, too much new production came into the market too quickly in what at the time, 3 years ago, was a tiny market. Lithium still a small market, growing dramatically, but still quite small. So we had too much supply, inventories were created, prices fell, equities fell more. So the average pre-producer saw their equities go from, you know, Q1, you know, March, April 2018 to say 6 months ago, down 70, 80, in some cases 100%. There were a few bankruptcies in Australia and Canada, very difficult. But fundamentally, the long-term demand story for lithium remains in place. Lithium is used in a lot of different things, but 60% or so of the demand is for batteries. And the vast majority of that is for electric vehicles. Growth in electric vehicle demand is dramatic all around the world. China initially strong in the U.S., very strong in Europe right now. And these cars are getting, there are more and more cars being introduced by more and more auto companies. The cars are generally seeking longer range, more lithium in the battery, et cetera. So lithium demand looks fantastic. And unlike 3 years ago, there is only one upstream lithium project being developed and being worked on literally in the world as we speak. So it's a big issue. Demand is growing dramatically. All the OEMs, all the battery companies, all the cathode companies see dramatic need for lithium in 2020, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and beyond. And they're concerned about the lack of investment on our side as the industry. But I think you'll see that change. I think you'll see a great bull market for lithium coming. It's a really ideal time for someone who hasn't looked at the space to study up and try to figure out where they want to pick their spots and maybe put some money to work.
Okay, so that's a quick overview of the market. And clearly there's a demand supply issue that's coming up and people are recognizing that now. So attention is being focused. Now, Piedmont Lithium have announced that you've done a deal with Tesla for supply to their batteries. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and then we'll go into the project?
Sure. So Tesla, obviously an important company in the US and around the world. They're the leading electric vehicle company, true innovators. They've been wildly successful for good reason. They have real technology leadership. And one of their themes has been they want to bring as much of their production in-house as they can, so they rely on others a little less, and they squeeze margin out of kind of the supply chain. So they've decided, and they talked about this last week at the Battery Day in California, which I was very fortunate to attend, to bring some of their lithium production in-house. And so they produce electric vehicles, obviously. They produce batteries right now in Nevada with Panasonic. They will increasingly produce more of their own batteries, some of their own cathode material, and in fact, some of their own lithium hydroxide. So lithium hydroxide is one of the two major lithium chemicals. It's the chemical they need in most of their longer range cars. So they're going to produce some of their own, by no means all, but some. And for their initial plant, they've chosen us to be their supplier of spodumene concentrate. So spodumene is a mineral that contains lithium. It's very prevalent in Western Australia, other parts of the world. We have the only American spodumene deposit.
Okay.
So our plans have been to produce spodumene concentrate in North Carolina and convert that to lithium hydroxide in North Carolina to sell to people like Tesla, other car companies, other battery companies, other cathode companies. We hadn't been planning to sell spodumene concentrate itself as an intermediate product, but are very happy to do it for Tesla.
So just explain a little bit more, you know, this is me coming from a bit of a background of not understanding. Explain a bit more about the spodumene side of things. Why is that so important?
That's a great question. So lithium is an interesting material. It's available, it's accessible in many different forms. There are big, brine operations in South America where you're pumping salty water, essentially, from the aquifer to surface, that's, evaporating lithium.
Yeah, and that's the bit I understand. So it's, you know, these great big brine areas where they can pump it out. I understand that, but spodumene, not so much.
Fair enough. So brine probably represents 40% of world production. Spodumene represents most of the rest of the production, over half. It virtually all comes from Australia today. The spodumene is just a mineral. This is very, very simple open pit quarrying. There's no cyanide leaching or anything like that. It's a very simple separation process to upgrade the ore from, say, 1.25% grade up to 6% spodumene concentrate. So you might see the acronym SC, spodumene concentrate 6%. That's sort of the bellwether standard that people trade or sell. So that's what we're going to produce. And it's been spodumene mining and lithium production from spodumene really originated in North Carolina in the 1950s. And virtually all the world's lithium came from North Carolina from the 1950s to the 1980s, two large spodumene mines just down the road from us on the Carolina Tin Spodumene Belt, which is one of the world's three biggest spodumene belts. So I wouldn't say it's rare. Again, there's a lot of spodumene in Western Australia, Northern Quebec and Ontario, parts of Europe and Africa, Brazil. And people will find more spodumene else, in other places, I hope. The world's going to need a lot of this. But we have the only American deposit. What's particularly good about spodumene, and I think what attracted Tesla to us as they thought about ramping up their own hydroxide production, is if you want to ramp production rapidly, you really can't rely on any other source. Brine operations are technically very complex. They take a long time to ramp up because you have these evaporation ponds that take 18 months plus to really work. And it's generally a very long ramp period. I would say from capital spending to free cash flow, multiple years for sure. Whereas in spodumene, we'll be producing spodumene concentrate within a year of digging, shovel in the ground for sure. It's very straightforward mining from surface. So it's easy to ramp. It's also a very low cost way to produce lithium hydroxide. So there's a myth in the industry that brines are lower cost. That has traditionally been true for carbonate production. If you're producing lithium carbonate for your cell phone or for a lower range, a shorter range car. But if you want to produce lithium hydroxide, it's generally cheaper to do it from spodumene. You can convert the spodumene concentrate directly to either carbonate or hydroxide. Most is converted to hydroxide because that's where the faster growth is right now and the higher prices are. And it's lower cost to do it that way than from brine. So I presume that's what went through Tesla's mind. It's what's going through, I think, a lot of other people's minds as well. So I think our agreement is very good for us. But I think it's really good for anyone in the spodumene business. Directionally, there will be very strong growth in hydroxide demand, and most of that will be sourced from spodumene mineralization. And that's a big advantage for those folks.
And I think the fact that you're based in the US is a huge help. But let me ask you this. You say that you are the only ones with a spodumene project in the US. There's nobody else who's got a project like this, number one. That's the first part. Second part is, how did you come across this particular deposit?
Well, it's a good question. So the belt we're on is about a 30-mile long belt, 30 miles long, a mile wide, two large old historic mines that are depleted now but were operated for a long time. One of those was operated by a predecessor of Albemarle, the world's biggest lithium company. Albemarle still owns that site. They have done some drilling there. I don't know what the results are. They haven't announced them. I suspect there's more mineralization there. I don't know what their development plans are. It hasn't been active, so I don't consider it an active project. But there are no other belts of any scale in the U.S. other than this one. And unlike in Western Australia or Nevada or Northern Quebec, where the government owns most of the land and you're really staking, getting mineral rights to drill, where we are in North Carolina, we're on private land. So we have over 100 different agreements with landowners in the area where we've either acquired or optioned their land or are leasing their land to drill and essentially produce on. It's very hard to build a land package. So what happened four years ago, to answer your second question, the Apollo group in Perth, Ian Middlemiss is our chairman. He's the chairman of Apollo. Tazo Arima is an Apollo guy who was based in New York at the time, who now is based in North Carolina where we are. Tazo had the idea of looking for lithium. He learned that all the lithium in the world had come from North Carolina for a very long time. So there's a huge talent base. North Carolina is a fantastic place to operate really any kind of business. I mean, the weather's good, the taxes are low, the infrastructure is new and first rate. It's just a wonderful place. There's low cost power. It's just a wonderful place to operate. So he put together a small land package with a local geologist. They drilled a few holes. They really liked what they saw. So they rolled that into a shell in Australia, renamed it Piedmont Lithium, hired me to run it. And we built our team from there and expanded the land package, done a lot of drilling. And so that's really the foundation. It's a relatively young company. And we're very much the first mover on this belt, and we've achieved a big land position, which would be really hard for anyone else to replicate, just given the nature of the ownership in the region.
You said a moment ago that it's over 100 landholders. Does that make it a little bit complex to manage with that many landholders? And are there any challenges with that? Because you say it's private land, and you're dealing with 100 and perhaps more than 100 landowners.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say it's difficult to manage once you've got them, but it's very difficult to put a land package together. You're literally knocking on doors, sending letters, introducing yourselves, building friendships and relationships, and offering an incentive for somebody to consider leaving their property. In many cases, this is vacant property. It's wooded or it's some contract farming or something. But certainly, people who live in the area, we have to make it worth their while to decide to move down the road somewhere. And so I think, but once those decisions are made, and in many cases, people are quite happy where they are and don't want to move. They're happy for us to have our activity, but they don't want to move. That's fine too. The bigger we can make this project, I think the better from a lot of people's perspective, certainly including Tesla and potential other customers for our material as well.
So we talked about the fact that you're in the U.S., do you think that there are going to be challenges going forward with China and supply? And so that's why Tesla came out and said, you know what, and just explain a little bit more about the deal with Tesla, because that's clearly got people pretty excited this week.
Yeah, the Tesla deal is very simple. We're going to supply them a certain amount of spodumene concentrate for 5 years on a fixed price basis. They have some option to take a little more material, which we're happy to provide them, obviously. There's a 5-year extension option if we both want to extend, which we probably would. So that's really as far as it goes. I think from Tesla's perspective, China is interesting. So China produces 83% of the world's lithium hydroxide today.
Wow.
It's produced in China. And we know several of those companies, and they're good companies and good people. We know them, but they happen to be all in China. So whether it's China or name another country, the idea that 83% comes from one faraway place is disconcerting for anyone in the supply chain. So we've had this conversation with other automakers in the U.S. They like to get all of their material close by if they can. So if they need to buy windshields, they're not shipped. They'd like to get them locally if they can. They'd like to get the tires locally if they can. They'd love to get their batteries and their cathode and the lithium locally if they can. We've had that conversation directly. And this is all pre-COVID. COVID has made it more stark and it's more obvious to more people. But that's just been a truism in the industrial arena. If you can get something locally for a competitive price, you just take a lot of risk out. You take political risk, tariff risk, weather risk, shipment risk. One of the things we were able to offer at Tesla compared to, say, some other suppliers, from the spodumene suppliers from around the world, is I think they would prefer not to manage a big inventory of spodumene concentrate. Spodumene concentrate's like a gravel or a sand. So we're in a position where we can send them rail shipments every week or every 2 weeks, whatever, and just kind of sort of manage that. That'd be harder to do from Port Hedland, say, where you'd be sending shiploads maybe every quarter, and it'd be a little more difficult and it'd be more expensive to ship. So I think from Tesla's perspective, the fact that we're American is good. They're American. They like to buy American. The fact that we're closer and it's more economical for us to ship to them than for others is a big plus, obviously. I think they view it as a de-risking move. The other thing I'd say is, outside of China, I mean, the lithium business is a little bit of an oligopoly. There are considered to be five major players, two of whom are Chinese, two of whom are American, one's from Chile. And I think for everybody in the cathode battery and automotive business, if you want material from outside of China, you're now down to three suppliers, essentially. And the more suppliers there are, the better. So they're really, I think you see more and more the OEMs and the big battery companies trying to find ways to assist companies like ours getting into business. And that's obviously terrific for us. And and we know a lot of, we spent a lot of time for the last 3 years with a lot of these companies. Tesla's one, but we spent a lot of time with other car companies, some of the Asian battery companies, European cathode companies. We have very good relationships, and we think those are going to become, that much more active now that we are, now that it's clearer, our development timeline's a little clearer to everybody.
Well, let's talk about that development timeline. Let's explain to our listeners, because you obviously Tesla are interested. There's some exciting news coming up. But what is the timeline of a project like this? What can investors expect to be hearing in the near future? And also, what are you allowed to expand a little bit more? Is Tesla going to be investing in Piedmont Lithium, or are they just doing the offtake?
So to answer that question, there's no contemplation of them investing. I don't think as a corporate entity, I don't think they're fans of joint ventures or minority interests particularly. So that's fine. We'll raise our own capital. Our timeline with them, as the press release said, is deliveries will commence sometime between the summer of 2020, our summer, July 2022, July 2023. So we can comfortably meet that timeline. And the reason for the 12 months of flexibility there is really for both of us to really refine our precise plans and when they want to start, when we want to start. It's a little bit more on their side to decide when do they actually want to start production. So that gives us, that makes it pretty clear. For us to meet deliveries in summer 2022, we'll be starting to build next July, give or take. So we'll be doing an awful lot of work. And we're going to assume that that's the timeline for now. So we'll be doing a lot of work to get ready to go into production. Importantly, this is only one part of our business. So we're going to have a mine. We'll take, ore out of the ground. We'll put it in a concentrate plant. We're going to produce 160,000 tons a year of concentrate. We're going to sell a third or more of that to Tesla. The other two-thirds, and the concentrate we'll buy from other parties, we're going to take into our own lithium hydroxide plant just down the road, 20 miles south in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, which is where Albemarle's headquarters are. We have a chemical plant site there. We've got a pre-feasibility study done on that plant. We're permitting that site now. We hope to get the permit this year. We think we will. So we're going to be ready to go on that as well. And what we need there is we need customers for that product as well. And for all the same reasons that I think Tesla favored us as a potential as a supplier for concentrate, I think a lot of people, car companies, battery companies, cathode companies, will be interested in our American-based hydroxide. If you look at the map in any of our presentations, you see the map of all the European, all the car companies and battery companies in the U.S. Then you look across the Atlantic to all the cathode and battery capacity being built in Europe. We're far closer to Europe than the Chinese are. We provide diverse supply to them, to the German car companies, the European cathode companies, et cetera. So we think we're going to have a lot of fun having conversations with people. As whenever I've been asked about offtake in the past, I've made sort of a flippant remark that there really can't be anything easier than selling battery qualified lithium hydroxide from North Carolina. Everybody wants it. Our challenge is to produce it and to finance it and get ready to go. But this agreement with Tesla, helps. It builds some momentum for us. We're going to be capitalizing on that and building other relationships. We're hopeful we'll have some more offtake news. I wouldn't say imminently, but we're hopeful to have things, develop over the next several weeks and months that'll kind of further crystallize the value in our story.
And just one final question. You've currently got about 100 landowners. You say you've got this quite large land position. clearly others will be looking around the area. Are you looking to expand that land position, and how long are you looking at for the current mine life?
So our current mine life is 25 years, which is a long time. So we're less interested in going beyond 25 years, and we're more interested in expanding our throughput. So if instead of producing 160,000 tons a year, we could produce 200,000 or 240 or 280,000 tons a year, the economic impact of that would be very powerful for us. The CapEx would not go up proportionally. It would be CapEx per ton would be less. The operating costs would probably be less. It's just a big opportunity. It's clear to us the market will need a lot of lithium. They're going to want lithium hydroxide from spodumene. The more we can produce, the better we are. So as we think about growing our land package, it's really largely to drive throughput. That's something we're thinking hard about now. We're constantly in conversation with other landowners in the area. We have wonderful relationships. We're not aware of any others really trying to build a position. I will say, we know the map of the area intimately. Fortunately, our guys who founded the company before my time started in the right area. It's a long, narrow mineral belt. We're in the fattest part of it, and we've got most of the land. I don't really know how anyone could possibly replicate what we have. Well, I'm confident nobody could, but maybe others will look. Time will tell. I mean, one thing I didn't cover earlier, which I should, I think people don't always understand the advantage of being in North Carolina. I think some people have a misimpression that the U.S. is a high-cost place to operate. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We will be the world's lowest cost producer of both spodumene concentrate and lithium hydroxide, we believe. And it's because we're in a wonderful area where the infrastructure is truly first world. It's built. We're 30 miles west of Charlotte, major city, two major railways nearby, major highways. 3.5 million people live within a 30-mile drive. The weather's good. Again, taxes are low. There are no state mining royalties. There's a 5% royalty in Western Australia, 5% royalty in Nevada, et cetera. Electricity is 5.5 cents a kilowatt hour. Diesel and gas are cheap. Transport costs are very reasonable generally. It's just, we don't have to fly in and fly out any labor. We really have advantages at every level. We have byproduct industrial minerals we can sell from the mine because we're surrounded by industrial activity, ceramics plants, paint plants, glass plants, et cetera. So it all adds up to being a very special place. And for those that have gotten to know the story, like some of our bigger shareholders, Oz Super in Melbourne, et cetera, is our biggest shareholder. I think they really understand that it all comes down. It's not me, it's not my team so much as it's being in North Carolina is a huge advantage. And we've now shown it's an advantage from a customer perspective as well, which we always expected would come to pass.
Keith, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of news flow coming up. So I am sure we're going to be talking to you in the very near future. As I said before, ladies and gentlemen, ticking all the boxes, Piedmont Lithium, ASX code PLL. Keith Phillips, thank you so much for joining us today. And I look forward to our next conversation with the next bit of news flow.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. I enjoyed it. Thank you.